faith. We're going to unpack faith today. That's who we are, aren't we? We are people of faith. So welcome, whether you're watching here at Burwood East, joining us online. Will you pray with me this morning? Father God, we are a people of faith. And it may be today we're here in this service or watching around the world and we are full of faith. Or it may be today our faith is stretched. Our faith may be shallow. We may feel like we're on the edge of new beginnings or we may feel stale and cold. And so wherever we find ourselves today, it would be our prayer, come Holy Spirit. From this ancient word as you called Abram of old, may you speak afresh into our life and our world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hope you're looking forward to God's word this morning, Crossway. I think God wants to speak to us this morning and beckon us to step out in faith afresh in our lives. We begin a new series and we look at the life of Abraham. As we do that, I guess to give it some context this morning, I'm mindful of a story that I heard many years ago, but it's one that's kind of stuck with me because I just was recently, I saw this man again on social media just recently, a man by the name of Mark. There was nothing kind of all that grand about Mark, nothing overly flash about him. He had a passion for sport. He wasn't the most studious type. He had a fairly significant speech impediment that might get in the way of kind of ministry leadership. And rewind 40 years ago, and Mark found himself graduating at the Baptist Theological College in Sydney, where I studied a little bit later on in my life. And Mark stands with a professor. And the professor says to him, so Mark, kind of what lays ahead for you in ministry? What's your kind of vision? What's your hope? And I think, to be honest, the professor probably wasn't thinking that Mark had the brightest of futures. Mark stood before the professor and kind of with his stuttering voice, he was able to articulate, I'm going to become a sports chaplain. And I'm going to establish sports chaplaincy around Australia, he said. Now, 40 years ago, people didn't even know what sports chaplaincy was. And the professor, I think, thought, you know, what is he talking about? Who's this kind of dreamer? You know, today, 40 years on, around the world, that man, Dr. Mark Tronson, is known as the one who has pioneered sports chaplaincy around the globe. Hundreds, thousands of elite sports people have come to know Jesus through this most unlikely character who stood before a professor and who said, I might like sport, but more than that, I've got a heart to reach the most elite sporting people in the world with the gospel. He went to business people and he said, will you fund the ministry? And they gave him dollars to build Christian retreat centres around the globe. He became the chaplain of the Australian cricket team, to the Australian Olympic team. He's known by the world's sporting elite and he's known as a passionate follower of Jesus. He seemed like the most unlikely, but he heard the voice of God. And he was willing to step out in bold, radical faith. That's the story of Mark. That's the story of Abram that we look at today. And that is the story that God invites us afresh into today. Where in your life, as a person of faith, might be God be calling you to move out of your comfort zone and to take bold steps of faith? R. Kent Hughes, an American commentator, pastor, preacher, writes, Abram's initial walk of faith sets the standard. It provides us with a benchmark of faith for all generations to come. We come to this giant of the faith today, yet also an ordinary man who knows what it is to mess up in life. And we just get a snippet, a template, a glimpse of the beginning of his faith journey. And it challenges you and I, and wherever you might be listening in around the world today, to revisit our own faith journey. And are we, like Abram, ready to make those giant steps of faith in response to whatever God may lay on our heart today? Abram's faith journey begins in the great city of Ur. Ur was one of the leading cities of the Mesopotamian world in the Bronze Age. We're going back about 4,000 years today in modern Iraq. But think about it. One of the world's great cities, you know, and you think of the names of the world's great cities, you know, Rome, New York, Melbourne, Ur, you know, Ur. Where do you live? The city of Ur. But it's into this great ancient city that God comes to call Abram. And I've called this message this morning the Uns of Ur. The Uns of Ur. Why? Because as I read the passage this week and I said, God, we've all read Genesis 12 before probably. Give us a fresh vision of this passage. This is what I was struck by. In Ur, we see an unrelenting God come to the most unqualified human with an unambiguous call and unimaginable promises, and Abram is called to step out with unreserved faith. That's the template. It's the template for you and I as ordinary, unqualified people today, a God who wants to break afresh into our lives and beckon us to take bold steps of faith. Ur represented absolute darkness. 10 generations before, God has come and we've seen the flood with Noah. And if you like, God has begun the rebuilding work of the world. And yet within 10 generations, we see a wicked, evil, rebellious world that has again turned their backs on God. And in Genesis 12, if you like, becomes a metaphor for darkness. It's a metaphor for brokenness and human rebellion. And yet, to that city, God comes. There's the ancient city. It was the international capital of moon worship. As archaeologists dug up that city over the past century, they found mass human sacrifice pits. This was a terrible place. But to that city of darkness, an unrelenting God comes. I don't know about you, but that gives me incredible hope today. A God who isn't finished with our worlds. A God who isn't finished with our lives. And no matter what the darkest place you might find yourself in, the most painful place you might find yourself, the most broken place you might find yourself in, what have we already sung today? We've sung of a God who would knock down walls, who would climb up mountains, who would do what seems irrational, leave the 99 to pursue the one. That is our God. A God of unrelenting love and grace and goodness and power. I wonder, Crossway today, here at Burwood East or online around the world, I wonder today, do we need to meet afresh a God of unrelenting love and power and strength and grace and goodness who wants to speak into our world and our circumstances afresh this morning? A God of unrelenting love who chooses an unqualified human. Abram was the son of a pagan worshipper, the grandson of a pagan worshipper, the great-grandson of a pagan worshipper. His father made a living by building icons, by carving and shaping icons to false gods that would be worshipped. Abram was 75 years old. He was senior in his years. He was fairly comfortable and stuck in his ways. And to such an unqualified human, God comes. And you know what we all have in common in this auditorium today, or where we're watching around the world? Every one of us here today are unqualified for the task that God calls us to. Amen. We are unqualified. But what qualifies us? God chooses us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I still scratch my head and think, why would God do that? Why would God come and choose someone so ordinary like me who still messes it up and mucks it up and gets in the way? But God chooses us. The unqualified become qualified, not because of what we do. The unqualified become qualified because God in his grace says, I'll choose ordinary people. I'll choose ordinary people to do extraordinary things because that is the way that God works. And so God comes and chooses Abram, and God is choosing you today. And you might be here today and you might be elder in years and thinking, I'm now retired and I am almost disqualified. Well, God says, I want to put new energy into old bones. And you might be here today in the middle ages or stages of life and you're so focused on wealth or career or family or accumulation, and it could be that God comes today and says, take your eyes off the things that are secondary and come back and see what I want to do in your life afresh. A God who chooses the unqualified. A God who chooses people like Mark, who with a stuttering voice says to a professor, God's called me to be a sports chaplain and nothing's going to get in the way of that. Are we open? Are we promptable? Are we hearing today? Abram was unqualified, but he was listening. Maybe he stood at times at the top of the grand moon worship temple, and maybe in his later years of life he would think to himself, is this it? Is this all there is to life? He may have felt stuck. And then he hears the voice of God afresh for the very first time. He's worshipped other gods, but now the one true God speaks into his life. And what is that simple but profound truth we hold to here at Crossway? God still speaks to us today. And our prayer would be, Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Are we ready? Are we open? Are we promptable to hear what God might want to say? What dreams God might want to release today? What God might want to call us into today? Because here is this unambiguous call. An unrelenting God comes to an unqualified human. Look what he says. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. Starts on the externals and brings it in closer to home. Leave your country, your people, your very family, and go to the place that I will show you. He's called to leave. He's called to leave family, home, prosperity, pagan worship. He's called to leave everything that he knew and was comfortable with, everything in his life that was settled, particularly his stage of life. And he's called to uproot and leave. And he's called to go. He's called to go to an unknown destination. I mean, picture the scene. You know, Abram's driving the car. Sarah's in the front, but she doesn't know which way to put the map because she doesn't know where they're going. And Lot's in the back seat saying, are we there yet? And Abram's saying, don't ask me anymore, are we there yet? Because I don't know where we're going. He's just told us, step out in faith and I will show you the destination. Steve Furtick says that so often in our affluent Western Christian faith, where we're bombarded with information every day of our lives, we want all the details before we're ready to pursue the destination. That's true at times, isn't it? God, I'm ready to follow you, but give me all the details. Let me see the script. Let me show you where it needs some amendment, God, because you probably haven't got that quite right. And when the script's right, when the details are right, when I'm confident in the details, then God, I'm ready to go. But folks, Abram gets no details. Abram gets an unknown destination and a call to faith, a call to step out one day at a time and hold his breath and trust God to get him there. The gospel calls the same. Jesus breaks into our world and Jesus calls exactly the same as God's to Abram. Jesus comes to the most unlikely, to a rugged fisherman, and says, leave your nets, leave that which you know, and follow me into the unknown. He comes to a tax collector, a corrupt tax collector, and he says, leave your tax collector booth, put aside your corrupt money and follow me. Leave, he says. Leave what you know. Crossway, what's become incredibly evident in my life over more recent years is that we have to leave to receive. We have to leave to receive. In December 2016, I was sitting home in Newcastle. I was settled. Life was good. My family was there. My friendship network was there. I had a good job. Life was secure and comfortable. And yet I kept praying, God, there's got to be something more. God, I feel like I want a new challenge. God, I want new opportunities. God, I think I'm ready to step back into a leadership role in a church. And I kept praying for the more. Then suddenly this church from down south in Melbourne invited Megan and I and some of our kids to pack up and move down here. And there was a sense of, wow, do we really want to do that? Do we really want to leave all those good things behind? And it was like the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder one night and said, Scott, you keep praying that you want the more, but are you ready to leave to receive? Are you ready to leave to receive? Now, don't despair. Not every one of us will go home today, have to pack our bags and our boxes and move down. That's not the message. But you know what? Maybe a couple of people, that will be the message. Dick Dowsett was a pastor and he prayed and prayed and prayed that his church would be a church that sent international workers into Asia from the United Kingdom, and no one was putting their hand up to go. And after preaching and preaching and praying, who was the first person to leave that church? Dick Dowsett and his wife. Because sometimes we have to leave to receive. But what might it be you need to leave today? Could it be that you need to leave behind your own hopes and dreams and aspirations, your own script of how life might be? May it be you have to leave behind a focus on accumulating wealth or family expectation? Might it be that you need to leave behind other priorities, even good priorities, to reconnect with kingdom priorities? Might it be that we need to leave behind sin? Might it mean we need to leave behind circumstances, as difficult as they are, but we become so focused on our circumstances that we've lost sight of new possibilities that Jesus might have for us? What do we need to leave today that we might receive? An unrelenting God comes to an unqualified human with an unambiguous call. Leave. Go. Step out on the limb. And then he brings these unimaginable promises. Look at these couple of verses. We can only scratch the surface. We could preach on these verses for the next 2 months alone. Genesis 12:2. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Just stop and pause for a second. Remind yourself, this promise is spoken to an ordinary human being just like you and I, who I'm sure would have scratched his head and thought, God, have you got the right person? What does this mean? Incredible promises, personal, global blessings to come through this one man whose lineage will be that from which Jesus will fulfill it all, bringing hope to all the nations. But here's what I was struck again by this week. Abram hears those incredible promises that you will be a blessing, that you will be a father to the nations. But you know what was the biggest challenge for Abram when he heard this promise? It began with an assault on his own reality. Why? Because how could Abram become a father to the nations when he couldn't even become a father to one? He's married to Sarai. She hasn't been able to fall pregnant. They're now in their later years of life. They had lived with the despair and the heartache and the hurt of not being able to have children. And some of you here understand that pain in your own lives, and we stand with you today. But Abram has to step back. If he's to step out in faith, if he's to jump and believe God's promises and pursue the destination, then beyond worrying about the million, he has to think about the one, because his reality was they couldn't have children. And Crossway, this is what we need to grab hold of today. There is reality and there is God's truth breaking into our world. Reality says, I can't have kids. God's truth says you're going to be the father of nations, because we believe in a God of the divinely possible. Jeremiah, a young prophet, is called by God, and Jeremiah says, I'm young. I'm inexperienced. I won't know what to say. I won't know what to do. That is reality. But God says, I'm going to break into your world with truth, and you will be a great leader and a great prophet. Israel stands on the verge of the promised land. There is the destination on the other side. This is no little Aussie creek bed, but this is a raging river, too wide to cross, too deep to cross. Reality says this is impossible, but God's truth breaks into our world and says, I can get you to the other side. Crossway, do we believe that? Do we believe it today? It seems to me that so often in our lives today, in a world that says, play it safe, in a world that says, build security around you, in a world that says, get settled and hunker down and earn a good living, in a world that says, stay secure. Sometimes that rubs off on us in the church to the point where we actually fail to live the life that God wants us to live, because in our yearning for security, we choose second best when it comes to what God wants to do in our lives. Nowhere in the Gospels are we called to live settled lives. We're called to be people who are ready for Jesus to break in afresh and unsettle us. But do we want to hear that again in our world today? Do we want to hear that in our lives today? Are we focused on what seems humanly impossible or what is divinely possible? An old professor walked away and scoffed and laughed and thought, there's no such thing as even sports chaplaincy. He just wants to get free tickets to the footy. Believe you me, he got lots of free tickets to things. But hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have come to know Jesus because rather than look at something that seemed humanly impossible, Mark chose to say, if God is with me, it's divinely possible. I sense for some of us here today, Crossway, there's a need for change in our lives. It's time to stop saying it can't happen, God, and God, please make it happen. It's time to stop saying, God, I'm unqualified, when God says, I already know that. I choose you. What's God calling us to leave today? What's God calling us to pursue today? And how does Abram respond? I love this verse. It's so simple but profound. Genesis 12:4, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. We can't get to the destination unless we depart. depart. We go to the airport and we can't get to the destination unless we go through the departure lounge. And maybe today some of us feel stuck. And the Holy Spirit is beckoning us today to come afresh to the departure lounge, and God opens the doors widely and says, step out in faith and see what I can do in your life. But you know, of course, to get to the departure lounge, you first got to go through security. And you've got to let go of all those things that you can't take with you. And I wonder today, what is it that's holding us back? What is it that's weighing us down? What is it that's getting in the way that we might be free of those things so we can depart and we can pursue the destination? Abram had no GPS. Abram had no idea where he was going. Abram sets out on an 800-mile journey to get a foretaste of the promised land. And yes, there would be doubts, and yes, there would be setbacks, and yes, there would be disappointments, and yes, there would be detours, but he held on to faith because he understood that you cannot receive unless you first leave. You cannot get to the destination unless you are willing to depart. God is calling some of us to the departure lounge afresh today, to step out in faith. Because that's what Abram does. He steps out in unreserved faith that is outwardly expressed in beautiful obedience. He doesn't have it all together. Doesn't have the big picture. He's human. There were doubts and uncertainties. But he presents himself before a God who has broken into his world. He has none of the resources, the information, the faith background that we share in this auditorium. And he says, God, here I am. I'm available and I'm obedient. A couple of years ago, as I sat in Newcastle, lost in the details, doing the pros and cons analysis of what a move to Melbourne would look like, what we'd have to give up, what we'd have to embrace, a strange code of football down here, you know, knowing what we'd have to leave behind in terms of children, people saying to me, why would you want to move to Mexico? You know, in the midst of that, Megan comes home from work and she said, I've been praying tonight. And I sense that if we don't move, we are being disobedient to God. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't really want to hear that. But it was the deal sealer. Because as ordinary human beings, we were saying, God, we just want to be obedient. And there have been some incredibly great seasons since we've arrived down in Melbourne, but there have been some tough days. And in those tough days, it's so good just to say, God, I'm not sure what the future looks like, but we want to keep turning up and being faithful and obedient. That's what God calls every one of us to today. To hold on to God's word. Because you know what I'm struck by in Abram's life? That's all he had. There are times when I know I can make it so complicated. We've got so much available to us today that we can hold on to. All Abram had was God's word. He heard the voice of God, and that's all he had to hold on to. And the reality in a world of a billion voices today, where we get so lost with the noise of the world, the reality is we actually only need one voice, don't we? And we're a church that believes the Spirit of God is here today. We're a church that believes the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. And so what might God be saying to you today? He steps out in unreserved faith, holding on to God's word. And he lives counter to the culture around him. As I said before, we're not all called to go home today and put a for sale sign up and sell our houses and move to unknown destinations, but we are called to live countercultural lives. You see, back in Ur, back in the great city of Ur, Abram was comfortable. Abram's family was prosperous. The rabbinical tradition tells us later on that Abram's family was wealthy. The people of Ur looked down on those who lived a nomadic lifestyle. They looked down upon those who moved around as nomads, pitching their tents. But Abram left the wealth from home to become a nomad, and he spent the rest of his days pitching his tent in a nomadic lifestyle, following what God had for him. Why? Because he becomes an example for us of countercultural living. In the New Testament, he'll be called a sojourner. In other words, he understood that he was not of this world. It's what Peter says, that we are to be strangers of this world. Not strangers as in weirdos, but strangers as in people who understand that the kingdom is our home. We're called to live counterculturally. In a world that calls us to settledness and security, Jesus calls us to kingdom risk. In a world that calls us to build our own empires, Jesus calls us to lay down that we might build the kingdom of God. What does it mean today to live counterculturally for you? Have you been so sucked into the pressures and the patterns of this world? And it's so easy, isn't it? So easy. And Abram steps out for future generations. Abram will never see the full realization of the promises that God gave him, but he steps out in faith for the future generations, because that is what we lay hold of here at Crossway, that we might be a people of faith that lay hold of what lies ahead. Next week, we launch our June appeal as we seek to invest in kingdom purpose to expand this property, not for the sake of expanding this property, but for the sake of the gospel and future generations. And we hold on to the baton of faith, knowing that faithful people before us from Blackburn came and put a stake in the ground here, not for themselves, but for a future generation. Our team fly to Perth today and then on to Adelaide later this week for Building Discipling Culture conferences. Why? Because we put a stake in the ground and we say in faith, in years to come, we want the Australian church to look different. There are children downstairs who will accept Jesus today. And it's our vision that we would invest in them through children and youth and young adults, that they become the leaders of this place. If you're here today and your attitude is, well, I've come to get for me and I don't like what I'm getting, well, sorry, you're in the wrong place. The minute we fall into the trap of being consumers in church, we've missed the vision, haven't we? We're here for today, but we're here for tomorrow. We're here for the things that we won't see, but God will bring to pass. And finally, this morning, it's a beautiful way to end this passage if you go and read all of Genesis 12, the first half of Genesis 12. Genesis 11 begins with the people of the world saying, let's build a tower. Let's build an edifice. Let's build a structure that makes our name great. And we live in a world today where all around us every day we're told, make our own name great. Are we seeking to build a life that promotes our own glory? Or like Abram of old, are we seeking to build a life that focuses on God's glory? We get to the end of chapter 11 and we find Abram, the most unlikely, the most unqualified, there with his father, whose father's career was to build idols, icons of worship to false gods. Maybe today our life is one where we're pursuing the idols of this world. A world that calls us to accumulation and materialism and consumerism, and a world that calls us to, yeah, worship God, but not wholeheartedly. But you know, in Genesis 12, Abram only builds one thing. Abram builds altars to bring honor and glory, as he says in Genesis 14, to the one true God. And that's what you and I are called to do. Ordinary people, unqualified people, people who'll still mess it up, people who haven't got it all together. But when I was a little kid in my Presbyterian church, a faithful Sunday school teacher would teach me the catechisms. And the first catechism that I learned, what is the chief end of humanity? To glorify God and enjoy Him. That is our primary purpose. To shape our lives, to live our lives as obedient, faithful people, that we would bring honor and glory to God. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for Abram's story of old, the ancient call to faith, to leave that which was comfortable, to leave that which would hold him back, to leave that which he was so accustomed to, that he might step into new faith territory, that he might receive afresh the vision of God. We thank you that you call us to leave and go, but you never call us to go on our own. You promise that you will be with us every step of the way. Father God, the Holy Spirit is here today wanting to bring challenge and encouragement and change. There are people here today and people watching across the world who need to leave some things behind that they might embrace faith afresh. If you're watching online and you're praying right now, you can simply click the next steps button and someone will be there to talk to you about your own faith journey. But right here in this auditorium, I'm going to invite you to do something very simple. As people have done last night and again in the first service, with no fuss or bother, with eyes closed and heads bowed, if you know the Spirit of God has challenged you today to stand up afresh and to make yourself available for God's call upon your life, whatever that might be, that you're ready to leave, that you want to embrace faith afresh, can you stand right now? Come on across this auditorium. If you know the hand of God is upon you this morning, just stand right now. God, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm available. I might even be frightened and scared, but I'm ready to step forward in new ways. Can you stand right now as people are doing across the auditorium? Join them. Come on. God, I'm here. And I'm ready. God has a vision and a purpose and a plan for every one of our lives. Let's not get stuck, Crossway. Let's not stay where we are. If you want to stand right now as we wrap this up, can I invite you to stand? Father God, I want to pray for each and every person who's standing here today. I want to pray that you would fill them with faith, that you would remind them that you have a purpose and a calling that is unique over their life. I pray whatever it is they need to leave behind, they will do that today, that they might receive more from you. Father, thank you that your love is unrelenting. Thank you that you choose to use us. Send us out this week into a beautiful but broken world as faithful and obedient people who want to pursue passionately things of the kingdom and bring honor and glory to your name. We pray that together in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, and Stacey's going to come and lead us as we worship our unrelenting God.